welcome back to another exciting episode of Action the Feature Editor. Today I have a fabulous guest, the film Beyond Blossom, which is not something I normally say, but you can find it there. The film's called Payne's Branch. Writer, director, actor, entrepreneur, Jake Casey's here. Welcome.
Happy to be here.
So I don't know how happy you are. You could be an all-you-can-eat buffet somewhere, which might be a little more exciting.
This is pretty good. I get the chance to talk a film. I get to talk to other people who appreciate, indie film and stuff like that.
That is true. You might not find that at your local Chinese buffet.
Now, if we could find a way to combine both, we would be in a really good spot.
Well, maybe my next interview should be like on location at a buffet. Maybe I should like work that in somehow.
You have my full support on that idea.
Maybe we'll get there. So let's start. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be very honest. You have a very limited budget on this production.
Oh, yeah. Very, very, very
I'm not
limited.
Discussing that. That's fine. I accept that. So was this felt like a student project to me at times? Like it felt like a student film.
Yep. We were actually in our final semester of a college. I went to App State and my friend Thomas went there at App State. And, we had access to a lot of equipment that we were, because we were journalism majors, but I've always had an inkling for film. I've always liked to make film, but I didn't want to go to film school because I felt like that was too big of a risk, for something that's kind of hard to get into an industry for. So I was like, I want to go into journalism. I got a job now working in a local TV news. So I had a more of a safe path, but I could still kind of dip my feet in, filmmaking a little bit. So we had access to all that equipment, and we spent one semester kind of coming up with the idea a little bit. We got inspired by some real world events that happened in the area we were at, and we came up with that little film. We came up with that little script, and it was very resourceful, very hands-on. It was literally a two-man cast most of the time. We both were moving the camera, I edited it, but we tried to just work with what we had, and what we had was our college, what we had was our availability, so we just had fun with it.
So hold on, you're in journalism school.
Yeah.
And you have access to this equipment. Now, why do you have access to equipment if you're in journalism school and not film school?
Yeah, definitely. So the broadcast journalism field's changed a lot nowadays. They have a lot of MMJs. So they're basically training people to shoot like their own news packages. So you get access to the camera, you get access to Premiere Pro, all this stuff, because back in the day, reporters, all they had to do was sit there and talk on air. But now they were like, they expect them to edit their own packages, shoot their own packages, do the audio on their own packages, even promote on social media. So it's kind of cool to go in there and be able to have access to all that equipment, which is almost like a guerrilla film school. That's what I like to call it, at least.
So what did you learn from the film then? I mean, this is your first film, I presume. You wrote it, directed, edited. I get that. But that's a lot of work for you and going to school.
Yeah, definitely. It was something I've always wanted to do. I wanted to see if I could really come up with an idea and see if I can, creatively make it all the way. Because, I hear a lot of people say that, I want to make a film, I want to try it. But I was like, I want to do it. I don't want to give myself an excuse. And I knew that, the biggest motivation was I knew if I ever wanted to do it again, it would be way more expensive because I would actually have to rent out the equipment and I would have to take the time aside. So I was like, I kind of gave myself that deadline. And I'm happy with how it turned out for sure. And, people, it's very divisive. Some people hate it. Some people love it. But the criticism I learned from, the positive I learned from, I'm very open to it. So I appreciate any take.
Everybody hates me. Don't worry. It's just my reviews. I'm like, whatever.
Right.
If you don't like it, don't watch it. That's the only way I can tell you to deal with criticism. Like,
ain't
I'm not
that the truth?
I do this for me, not for anybody else. And that's the only way. So, two things. I want to go, let's go into the film a bit more. Is one of your professors in, because you only really have one other character at one point.
Yeah.
I presume that's your actual teacher.
No, that's actually my dad.
Oh, that's your dad?
Yeah,
Okay.
That's Mr. Casey. Yeah, he's kind of a good talker. He's in sales, so he has to talk to people all the time and kind of be a little charismatic, a little charisma, to work in deals and stuff. So I thought he might have that kind of on-air presence that we kind of needed on, like, movie acting, and he did really good. I mean, we just had him improv that script. He hunted too and fished and stuff, so we kind of understood like a little bit what he was talking about, but we just kind of let him roll with it. We just said cameras on, have fun.
Okay, so while you're filming this, how long did it take you to film this? Was it over the course of a year? Was it 2 weeks?
It was over the course of about 6 months. We had a big issue halfway through the filming, though, because I broke my foot playing basketball in college. So halfway through, we couldn't film anymore. So we started in January. And then February, we were getting good progress. And then March and April were complete washes. But we still had our leases on our apartments in school for about 2 months. So I came back in May, late May, and then we finished all June and just worked on it all summer. We finished it. Half of
So
it,
you
most of it
still
was
had
still.
access to equipment then through this period.
Yeah, unfortunately, I had to spend a little more money than I would like because 1 week I did have to rent out some stuff from LensRental, which is a great company, by the way. If any of your filmmakers use that, that's a great company. I couldn't recommend them more. But I had to rent out the equipment from LensRental, but a lot of it was shot completely for free. And, I don't know if I would have had the budget or I could have gotten that kind of money to make it without the free equipment at school. But LensRental did come in clutch when I needed them for that 1 week.
Okay, so where does this project go? I mean, is this your journalism project, or has it got nothing to do with that?
No, this was just a strictly passion project. I wanted to put it out on distribution. I'm really happy because it just hit 10,000 views on YouTube, actually, the film. So I'm very happy about that. It got picked up by FilmHub. They picked up on some platforms. They got on Fawesome TV. It was on a Found TV for a little bit, but I haven't heard
I've
too
never
much
heard of
from
it.
them. Yeah, I haven't heard too much from them, but it's been on there, but I don't think they've really done much with it. Stash TV has been really good to me. They have a streaming, like online TV kind of network type thing. It doesn't do that good there, but when they put it on YouTube, it started really doing good. So, maybe that's something to look forward to, like maybe putting more films on YouTube instead of the smaller streaming
I
platforms.
think YouTube, I mean, I'm really getting off topic here, is great for people that need things to watch.
Definitely.
And you can find things you have. Oh, I have never heard of this. Let's watch it and see where it goes. And I do
Right.
find YouTube's that. On for my other show, I do use YouTube for stuff I can't find, usually from the 40s or 50s. I will
Yeah.
look for older films there sometimes just because I can't find them. Okay, let's get
Right.
back to your film because you will take me totally off topic, which I don't want to do. Where's the forest and the school? So obviously, where did you shot in your school, I presume?
Yeah, we shot in school and then we shot around the surrounding areas at some parks around there. Oh, it's in Boone, North Carolina. I went to App State, so a lot of it's in that area. We have a lot of connections out there, so we would, go in location and film and stuff, and people were very kind to us on filming, and we were happy to have that. And we had such beautiful surrounding area. We kind of had everything we needed right there and no location scout or nothing. We just went and worked with what we had.
Okay, who taught you the bear trap?
That's something actually from deer hunting. Deer hunting, when you're having a lower budget on deer hunting, there's nice feeders. Some people have like these crazy box stands that they spend months on, food plots, but most people, especially down here in the South, they don't have that kind of money. So what they do is they take a peanut butter jar and they put it, nail it in the tree, and the deer come and have it. And I was like, you know what? I feel like bears would come to that too. And I've heard people say that bears have come to their deer feeders like that. So I was like, that's an interesting thing. And I like the optics of it. I thought, having a peanut butter jar nailed into a tree was just something people might be interested in seeing. Like, where's that gonna go?
So, when you are doing this, did you take them down afterwards or did you just leave them there?
No, we would take them down afterwards for sure. We would always have it. We had left the nail there, that way we can easily like switch it out. But once we were done, we just took the nail out completely. But we would take the peanut butter down and stuff because sometimes they would fall off and they weren't really deep in there. I didn't want to go too deep in the tree, so we would
Well,
kind
I
of take
gotta
it off.
ask, so how many jars of peanut butter were used?
More than we would have liked, more than we would like, because I knew how to do it, but I had to teach my friend Thomas how to do it, and a few of peanut butter jars went to waste. I mean, we tried to like make sandwiches and stuff with it later on, but a few jars went to waste. I probably, to give you a number, probably about eight for
That's
four.
not bad.
So
That's
it
not
worked.
bad.
Yeah, not too bad.
It seems very cold at times where you're shooting this film. You did tell me, obviously, you started in January. So,
Yeah.
how cold was it? Because you do not look warm at the beginning of this film.
Yeah, the first part of the film was filmed in January. That's actually when the hurricane I think hit in September, and then we had break. So it was a little bit of a break, but the town was still very messed up for those months after. But in January it was very cold, and anyone that's been to Boone knows how that weather just that wind comes off that mountain, and it's bone chilling cold.
So while you're writing this in the dialogue, is it all scripted or just a lot of it's ad-libbed as you get out there?
Yeah, it's really fun. I liked how we kind of did it. I'm inspired by like that kind of like mumblecore filmmaking, if you ever heard of it. It's kind of like very loose. It's like early 2000s
Are you
stuff. And
really asking me if I know what mumblecore is?
oh, so you know what it is then?
Yeah,
Awesome.
oh
That's
my
what I like to
God.
hear. That's what I like to hear.
Wow, I am going
Yeah.
to get shots for that.
Oh, awesome. Well, I'm happy you heard about it, because some people I've been interviewed, they had no idea what it is. So I'm happy I got someone that actually
Okay,
knows what
stop
it
talking to
is.
these people. They obviously do not watch film if they don't know what
Right.
mumblecore
That's
is.
kind of, no offense to the other people I've interviewed, but I like you. I like you.
No, I'm a film fanatic. I mean, I think you should know what mumblecore is, or at least
Yeah. But my favorite thing about mumblecore is, it's cheap, it's easy to do, and also you can kind of have loose dialogue a little bit. And I feel like the movie kind of needed that because it was just a two-man cast. It was like, all we really got is our chemistry on this, and we're not trained actors or anything, so we're like, let's just completely improv it. And we would take different takes and be like, I don't like how you said that, let's say it that way. So it was like just very improv on the way, mostly all improv. The only part that was scripted was the first two lines of the while we're sitting on the tree introducing
That's
Prince.
it.
That's it. Everything else was improv. Yeah.
Okay, that does. I do get that impression at times, so that's why I asked it. When you're filming, do you guys, I mean, it's, I know one of you is holding, it looks like one of you is holding the camera and then the other one's holding the camera.
Yeah.
Am I missing something or is that what happened? Because it doesn't
No.
look like any still shots at all.
No.
Other than when you're in the school, I find it's a little more stagnant.
Yeah, I was sitting down holding the camera, pointed up to my dad in a chair, and then we would kind of pass off the camera duties a little bit. The very end scene, the camera's actually on the ground, but other than that, yeah, it was just us holding the camera each time, switching
Okay.
off that. Yep.
So, did you find the no trespassing signs or did you add them in?
Oh, we found them there. No one needs to know about that,
Why? How are you not going to know about them? You walk right by them.
Yeah, no, I didn't, that's why I don't know if we were allowed to film on, because I don't know if the one side was private property or the other side wasn't. Because I used to fish the other side and no one's ever said anything. So I was like, you know what? Let me just film the side that's private and then act like the other side's private too. But the other side, technically, I think, is public because I fished there for years and nothing's ever happened. But yeah.
Now, while you're out in the woods, did you run into people?
Yeah, we would run into some people, especially on the one spot. The first spot that the film is filmed in looks remote, but it's really not. It's kind of like a public park. There's like a soccer field down there, but it kind of looks remote. But we would have problems where, like, you would hear the soccer players playing and the whistles blowing and people talking in the background. So we would get up super early and try to do it sometimes, or get in super late, and try to do it. But some of the scenes are pretty remote. Like the spot where we were going, where the private property scene is and that creek, that's really remote. That's like in middle of nowhere type remote, but other spots of the scene were fairly remote. But the first introduction scene is not as remote as it looks, and we would run into people.
So, why would you go so far in? If you just told me a lot of parks nearby and stuff nearby, why'd you go in so deep? For
Yeah.
quiet?
Well, one of the biggest things I had, and Thomas would get kind of annoyed with me for it, but I was like, since we have such a limited budget and since we have such a limited cast, I thought the best thing we could do is try to have a lot of different locations and a lot of different, because it almost acts as movement in the film, because it could get kind of mundane, just like one location the whole time. So we would kind of go out and try to get places that looked a little different. Meat camp kind of was more farmland. I call it meat. That's what the town's called. There's Boone, there's Meat Camp, and then there's Lansing. There's all three towns are all in the same area though, and Lansing was where the river scenes were, and that was really remote. Meat Camp was like a rural farm town, and then the Boone scenes were more industrial, I guess. But we would just kind of switch that up because I just wanted to have different locations. I was really adamant on having that.
Did you keep your fish or did you return them?
No, what happened was we actually caught the fish and then I threw them back and then we went to Walmart and bought cut cod and then we've acted like the cod were the bluegill.
Really? So the cod were, those fish were real.
Yeah, but they were bought from Walmart though. The fish
No,
I
I
caught,
understand that. I
yeah.
just thought you got really nice looking fish off Amazon, like
Oh,
big
no.
fish.
Yeah, the scenes where we were catching the fish, yeah, we caught those fish live on
No,
camera.
the ones when you're throwing them.
Oh no. Those are real fish from Walmart. Yeah. We bought them.
Wow, interesting. Okay, I did not expect that at all.
Yeah.
Now, while you're filming this film, you're obviously out in the woods a lot.
Oh yeah.
What did we do encounter? Deer, squirrels, raccoons?
We saw a lot of turkeys, which was pretty cool because I turkey hunt, so it was pretty cool seeing turkeys and stuff. Thomas got annoyed with me always saying, "Oh, look, that turkey right there." We saw a lot of deer. We saw a couple raccoons, a couple skunks. We tried to stay far away from them. No
I would
bears, though.
hope so.
Unfortunately, we saw no bears. I thought it would be kind of poetic if we actually saw a bear. We saw a bear while we were planning the shoot, like back in September, but that was before we actually got in the woods with the camera. So we did see one bear that year, but nothing on set, which is unfortunate.
Now, if we saw a bear on set, would that have been perfect to use 6 footage?
Knowing myself and my directing style, I totally would have tried to get the camera rolling and you put that in there. I don't know if you noticed, there's a scene where there's a snake that kind of shows up while we're walking back. It's kind of one of the middle scenes of the movie. Some people might miss it, but
If you
if I
discussed it, I probably would have wrote it down if you had made a mention of it.
yeah, I tried to put a I got that in the movie. If I were to ever see a cool animal or something, I would put it in the movie.
So, while you're filming, I mean, you're doing things. Did you like your film runs a good length of time?
Yep.
Did you think, hey, I have enough at any time, or you keep going, oh, we need another scene?
It was pretty cool. I feel like I wasn't as concerned with time. It actually ended up being longer than I thought, but we were a little concerned because we wanted it to be like a feature length film. But what I really just wanted to do was make sure I got everything that I thought I needed to fill out and complete the story. And looking back, and some of the criticism I had is there might be some spots that lull a little bit. And looking back, I can agree with that. Like, I feel like maybe some of the conversation I thought was witty, and it was a little bit, but it's like it's just two guys sitting in a library. Like, we don't need to see all that. And like some of those reviews, I'm like, yeah, I can see that. So in my next film, I think I'm gonna try to make it a little more like scripted, to kind of have all the scenes kind of more mapped out. But that's really why, because I just wanted to start from finish, and I had a very strong idea of what I wanted to start, middle, and finish.
Okay, the library scenes. I thought you two guys were just riffing on each other.
Yeah, a little bit. We were just kind of talking about the bears, the books about the bears, the project, and
Yes.
just kind of like banter and stuff like that. It kind of sets up just a little bit. I don't know if it's been received that way, but I was trying to kind of set up a little bit of dread about how the bears are out there, and maybe this isn't the best idea, but I feel like it might have got lost a little bit in just the mundane conversation. So looking back, I wish I would have made that shorter.
I respect this. I would consider the film, you guys are supposed to be the country bumpkins.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
I was supposed to be the country one, and then Thomas was more like up north, because that's how we are in real life.
Okay, well, that's the way I took the film, and you guys are just doing a summer project for school.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to look at it, because that's pretty much what we were going for.
So, on your first film, how did you find the editing process?
Yeah, well, like I said, going back to journalism school, I had pretty good understanding of basic editing. Found cool thing about found footage, you don't got to do anything crazy edit wise, because honestly, that takes away from the realism, so it's almost frowned upon. So the biggest thing I really cared about was consistency with lighting. I thought the film looked pretty consistently lit, and that was all natural lighting, but tweaking a little things in post, which was cool. And then I really wanted to make sure the audio was as good as I could possibly make it, so making sure everything was minus 23 lufs and all that. And I had some experience with that from a journalism school, so I just really focused on audio. That was the biggest thing, because I was like, we can don't have to do crazy edits, but if that audio is bad, we're not gonna. And we've had some compliments on the audio, which I've been happy about, because I did put a lot of time in making sure the audio sounded serviceable.
Do you like camping?
Yeah, I definitely like camping. I made this movie very much off myself, so everything we did in there was stuff I'd like to do in my day-to-day life, like fishing, camping, going out in nature, experiencing animals and stuff, because I just really wanted this film to be something kind of, something personal, something that I could easily immerse myself in.
So, as you approach your second film, what are you going to do differently?
Definitely, definitely. So, first of all, I had fun with the improv thing. I'm happy I did the improv dialogue. It was fun. It was perfect for this film. Next film, I want to be heavily scripted. I'm actually working on the script now. It's going to be kind of like a comedy meets horror film, but like the horror kind of sneaks up on you. And I think it's going to be pretty interesting. I'm excited to show it to y'all. Hopefully, I'm back here talking about it when it comes out. And it's going to be pretty good. I want it to be very scripted, very organized, and less chaos. More like act like we've been there before a little bit.
So, your job now, are you a TV journalist? Like, that's what I
Oh,
understood.
yeah, I work at the in news right now, so I basically work on the assignment desk. So anytime a story happens in news, I will find it, I will get it confirmed with the PIOs, I'll get it confirmed with local officials, and then I'll send a reporter out to it and make sure that they get their
Oh, so
package
you
in.
don't do that. You
Yeah,
don't go
I'm
in front
not
of a
a, I'm
camera.
Yeah, not yet, not yet. Hopefully soon, maybe one day. I'm still debating though if I want to, because I journalism, we learned a lot of stuff like producing, we learn on air stuff, we learn behind the scenes stuff, and I definitely do like working on the desk. It's kind of like where you get your footing in this industry a little bit, and then people work up from there to on air. So I'm just trying to take it day by day on that, but I'm definitely enjoying being in the industry for sure.
Well, I was just wondering if people had seen your film and see you on TV and go, hey, I know that guy.
No, not yet. Maybe one day, but I have had people reach out. It's funny when you make things like this, people that you don't even expect will like reach back out and say, "Hey, I saw your film." And I was like, "I ain't talked to you in years, but cool. I'm happy you liked it." Or sometimes they say it sucks. I'm like, "Well, I'm happy you watched it. It's still money for me." So,
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I
right.
never understand people finishing a film they don't like.
Yeah, it's like, well, you sat there and watched it, so I'll take. I mean, technically, I got what I needed from you.
So I just don't know how you could riff for so long. Like, you just did you have any idea what you're going to riff about? I mean, I don't know. I just think it's fun that I mean, I hang out with my buddies all the time. We riff, but I don't think I could make a film about it.
Me and Thomas are really good friends. You know, we were basically tied at the hip since college started. We were like friends all the time, hanging out all the time. So we really had a natural chemistry that you see on screen. That's us in real life, you know? And that's kind of just our personalities, and that's kind of how we mesh. So it's kind of just it was very natural to us on that for sure. It wasn't anything that was talked about. And he's good at taking directions. So if I said, "Hey, let's try it this way a little bit differently. Don't say that. Let's mention that." He would pick it right up. And I felt like I did a decent job in that because sometimes he would say, "Jake, don't say that. You sound like a goof." So
So, with your extra pieces of your film, well, how come there are no bonus tracks or laugh gag or
yeah,
something?
that's going back to what you said. I want to do differently on my next film. You know, this film, the biggest thing was finishing it. I was so concerned about just getting it done. Let's get it on streaming. Let's say we did it. Let's start our film career, you know, and get that out there. But unfortunately, with that, we didn't really feel confident enough to like take behind the scenes stuff and take pictures and still. So there's really not a whole lot of like document from this film process, which is upsetting because it was such a fun time in our lives, and I wish we had more like documentation of the behind the scenes stuff. But you know, on the next film, since we've been there before and done it, I definitely want to make an emphasis on making sure that I can share some behind the scenes photos with you and or anyone that wants to talk about it, you know.
So I'm guessing, so being a two-man crew is what I'm pretty much understanding. Did you guys even eat lunch on set, or did you just go, okay, that's it for the day, then go eat, or you didn't eat for hours?
Sometimes not eating for hours, other times we would live off like rotisserie chickens from Walmart and egg noodles and stuff. Wendy's was a big help. There was a Wendy's. We actually had a two-story Wendy's in Boone. It's one of the only two-story Wendy's I think in the country. It's crazy, right? Top and bottom Wendy's, and we would sit on that top floor of the Wendy's and eat up after a long shoot. But yeah, I definitely lost some weight on the shoot.
Well, I do have to ask about the 2-foot Wendy's. I've never heard of one. So the restaurant's in the bottom and they have a 2-floor seating?
So the restaurant's on the bottom, and you can sit on the bottom and you can order your food, but then you can go up top and eat your food. And you know, we're kind of introverted, so we would like to eat up top because no one would bother us.
Wow, that's fun. No, I just sorry. I know I'm going to focus on this Wendy thing for one more question.
No, it's
Drink
definitely a
refills on the
conversation.
bottom or on the top? Are there both levels?
I wish they were both levels. They were on the bottom, so you'd have to walk down, and Wendy's kind of gives you a big cup, so it was okay. And we would bring our own water. Thomas used to bring like a whole thing of water in the back of his car, so we were.
Smart
I was
man.
like, we can starve, but we can't be thirsty on set.
I agree. I agree. So the school again had no issues with you filming, even have your dad come in, they didn't care.
No, App State's a super cool campus. They're super supportive of their alumni. They're super supportive of their people. When it got, I actually got it written about in a local newspaper down there that's pretty big for the area called Watauga Democrat. They wrote about it, and App saw that, and they actually reached out and tried to set me up some stuff and say, "Hey, we're proud of you." And I was like, "That was nice of them."
Well, that's awesome. Okay. So let's go on to fun questions because I think we've covered the film. I mean, I don't want to ruin anything. Watch the film, people. It's fun. Your
Let's
favorite
have this
film?
moment. Well, my favorite film, easy, Baghead by Mark Duplass. That film inspired me more than any film I've ever watched in my life.
Baghead. Wow, there's a deep cut. That's a very deep. Besides Baghead, is there one film you recommend people they need to see?
One film I recommend they need to see that I think's really
Baghead would
good.
probably be an answer because I.
Yeah, Baghead's pretty good. What's a good one? Backhead's probably my answer for that,
I
honestly. I mean,
figured it
funny
might
how
be.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest answer. That's always my go-to when people ask, like, what film should you watch? There's so many, it's hard to say. There's some I have a podcast where I review other people's indie films, and we talk about, so we kind of make do podcasting as well. And there's a film I watched recently. It's called The Neighbor. It's by who do they call it? Intruder Films. It's black and white shot. It's a feature. It just came out now. It's really good. I'd recommend people watching it if they want to watch a new kind of cool indie film.
Hold
Watch
on,
it,
I'm
check it
not going
out.
to give you a third question. Screw this. I want to go back. What's your podcast about again?
Yeah, it's called the Stay at Home Sons podcast. Now, our production company, Stay at Home Sons, because we all, we're just got out of college and we're trying to hopefully one day move out of our parents' house. Knock on wood. We've kind of picked the wrong industry for that because filmmaking's hard, but we'll get there. And we talk to other filmmakers. We let them kind of talk about our project. We review all sorts of films. We don't discriminate on it. We will review like the very alt stuff that's like almost crazy, and then we watch more traditional mainstream stuff, and we just try to have an open conversation with filmmakers, and I learn a lot from other people on that for sure.
And again, the name of the podcast.
Yeah, Stay at Home Sons Productions, but Stay at Home Son
There we go.
Podcast would pop up.
iTunes,
Yep.
Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts.
Well, actually, no, we don't have it on iTunes yet. We have it on Spotify and YouTube. Those are our two big ones. We just want to
Okay,
focus on there.
no, iTunes, trust me.
iTunes? Okay, I'll take that
My,
up.
I
Yeah,
just, that's what I'm saying. Okay, well, thank you for your time, and you have a great
thanks for
day.
having me. Yeah, I appreciate it. Can't wait. Let me know when it's out. See
I will. Bye-bye.
you, man.